Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the true reason for Christmas. And that is the time that you sent Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin, Lord, God manifest in the flesh to this earth to save sinners like me. And Lord, I just pray that this Christmas and this morning, Lord, that we'll not lose focus on what Christmas is really all about. We know we live in a world where people they want to commercialize everything and change it, Lord. But as Christians, Lord, we are so thankful this morning, Lord, that we're able to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ this coming week. And we're thankful for these young folks that did so much work, Lord, preparing for this play this morning. And I pray, Lord, that everybody got a blessing out of it. I pray glorify to you. But Lord, I pray also this morning that we'll take a look at ourselves. And Lord, as we look at this message this morning, these verses, and we see what needs to be done this time of year, Lord, that so few people actually do. Lord, help us to focus on you this morning. And I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, they really don't understand what Christmas is all about. They just can't understand the awe of it, Lord, that you coming to this earth. And Lord, I pray that they will receive you this morning, Lord, that you will be their Savior, the one that you came to die for. And Lord, I pray also as Christians, Lord, that we'll examine ourselves this morning and ask ourselves, are we right with you? Are we where we should be as Christians, where you would have us to be? And so, Lord, I ask this morning, Lord, that you'll be glorified in this message, Lord, that you'll speak to these people. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I think we all understand that the Christmas time of the year, there are many folks who look at this time of year as a time of joy and a time of happiness. That is for some. That's not for everybody. You know, this time of year is actually a time when a lot of people are depressed during this time of year. It's a time of year that there is sometimes loneliness, but it really shouldn't be that way. It should be a time of joy for everyone, especially for Christians. And sometimes we have to admit that Christmas can be a time of stress. It can be a time of loneliness, uptightness. And many people extend themselves financially further than what they should extend themselves during this time of year, because we want it to be all about giving gifts to somebody. We want it all to be about, presents under the tree and those sorts of things. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with those things, but it is wrong if we make that the reason for Christmas. And the problem is, if people have made that the reason of Christmas, that's the reason why you have people in financial stress and when people overspend and things like that. And we're probably all guilty of it. But we should never really get to the point where we overextend ourselves financially. Too many Christians today have made Christmas all about money. But the Bible sets the record straight about what Christmas is really all about. And that is the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to tell you as a Christian, if you keep that in mind, if you just keep the true reason for Christmas in your mind during this time, during this season, you won't get distressed. You'll be more filled with joy, because when you understand that what it means that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners, do you understand that he had to be born so he could die for you and me? And that is the real reason for Christmas. So it should be a time of joy. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at certain characters of Christmas. We tried to look at different people who were involved in the Christmas story, and we actually began by looking at the wise men from the East. And we talked about them and how they were wise because of the things that they did. And then we went from there and we started to look at the shepherds and how they were tending their sheep. We looked at that last week. And then there are other people that we never got a chance to look at. I mean, certainly Mary and Joseph, they were a part of the Christmas story. And then you have the innkeeper. By the way, wasn't that innkeeper just the cutest thing you ever saw? But you had the innkeeper. I mean, he's a part of the story. There was no room at the inn. Somebody had to tell him no. And so there are a lot of people that are involved in the Christmas story that we never got to look at. But today, being as how it is the Sunday before Christmas, I want you to understand the most important person associated with Christmas, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Without him being here, it would have just been another night in history that would have been forgotten about. But it was not just another night. It was a night that God came into this world, born the King of the Jews, the Savior of the entire world. And that's what Christmas is really all about. Regardless of what this world wants to try to make it about, that is the true meaning of Christmas. And we must never forget the true meaning of Christmas. I mean, we sometimes as Christians, we get upset when we see people try to take Christ out of Christmas. But the truth of the matter is, if we were honest, we probably do a pretty good job of that ourselves. You see, we make Christmas about everything else, it seems like, and we only give the thought of Jesus Christ just for a little bit of Christmas. Well, we should never be guilty of that, folks. We need to focus on the true meaning of Christmas as Christians, because to us, it's everything. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we keep Christ and Christmas in our own lives. Now, we're going to be talking about Christmas this morning, and Christ, certainly, he's the true meaning of Christmas. But I also want to show you this morning what Christmas is really all about and what makes Christmas a truly special time. Now, to find out what those things are, we need to go back to the first Christmas here in Luke chapter 2. And what I want to show you this morning is that Christmas is not all about cooking, and it's not all about getting stressed or broke financially. It's not about those things. I'm talking about what we should be doing at Christmas. If we're keeping Christ, the true meaning of the true reason for Christmas, if we're remembering that, the things we should be doing for Christmas. And I'm sure you're going to say this morning, like, well, Pastor, you know, I have enough things to do at Christmas. I don't need another list of other things to do. Well, keep in mind that what I'm going to show you this morning are good things. They're good things that we need to be doing. And the first thing that Christmas has always been a good time for Christians to do, and that is it's always been a good time for giving. Christmas is always a good time for giving. And you know, and I just love giving presents to people. I think that's more important. You know, when the Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive, that's true. It's always, don't get me wrong, I love getting presents. In fact, if you have a present you don't have anymore, give it to your pastor, okay? But I do love getting presents, but it is more blessed to give than to receive. Parents give presents to their children, and we love to see our children and our grandchildren's eyes light up when they open up those presents. We like to give presents to our loved ones, and really giving is what makes Christmas special. And on the very first Christmas, there was nothing more that was given to this earth than what was given on that very first Christmas. And Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For unto you is born in the city of David." Christmas has always been about giving, because the very first Christmas, God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to be born in this world. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given." Unto us. Do you realize that was a gift that God gave this world? And Jesus Christ came to be born of a virgin. That was a gift to us. God sent his only son into the world as a gift for us so that he could die on the cross for us. Remember the verse that we all know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Don't you understand that, you know, when it comes time for Christmas, we like to give people presents. But as people in this world, we've all been given the greatest present that you could possibly get. Amen. And that is the birth of Jesus Christ. God gave his son so he could die on the cross for you and me, so that our sin debt would be paid. And I'll tell you this, I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning that God was giving us this wonderful gift, the greatest gift of all. But on Christmas morning, you know, we sometimes forget that. We sometimes forget that during the time of Christmas. We sometimes, you know, we get so involved in giving presents to somebody else that we forget that the greatest presents that has ever been given was given to us. You know, I think back about, you know, in the past, me and my wife, we used to have this thing that we had this agreement that we would not give presents to each other. We would only give presents to our children. Problem is every Christmas morning, she would always pull a fast one on me, and she'd slip me a present and say, "Here, I got this for you." And I was like, well, great. I didn't have anything to give back to you, you know. You know, and that's kind of the way we are. We don't like to get presents. We think if we get something, we need to give something back. That's the way we think. How many of you have ever gotten a card from somebody like 3 days before Christmas, and you know you don't have enough time to give them a card back because it's just not enough time. And you know that if the card gets there after Christmas, then they'll know that you just sent them a card because you got one. Amen. We've all done that because we've been trained to think that, you know, if I get something, I must give something back. But don't you understand that when God gives gifts, you can't give anything back to Him. You can never repay Him for the gifts that He gives you. How could you possibly repay Him for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to die for you? You could never repay Him for that. You know, but yet, as Christians, we like to give gifts. So I'm just going to ask you this morning, let's say that you could give God a gift. What would you give Him? I mean, after all, if you think about it, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. How could we as Christians give Him anything, really, for Christmas? I mean, I was thinking about it last week. You know, isn't it something that Jesus Christ, you know, He came and you know, people came and gave Him gifts, but yet on Christmas, we don't have any gifts to give Jesus. And it's His birthday. Amen? I mean, how would you like to have your birthday and nobody ever could bring you any gifts? But that's the way it is. May I tell you that you can give the Lord a gift this morning. You say, what could I possibly give the Lord this morning? You know, you say, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot I could give Him. Well, maybe you don't. But you can give Him something. You say, what can I give Him? You can give Him your heart. Amen. You can give Him your heart. You can give Him your time. You can give Him the time that He wants to spend with you. You know, I encourage you as Christians, every day you need to spend some time with the Lord. Just time in prayer, quiet time. The Bible calls it closet time, where you go in your own closet and you pray. There's times that you need to open your Bible and just be quiet. Turn the TV off. Turn the phone down and just spend quiet time with the Lord. May I tell you, that would please the Lord greatly for you to do that. And what a great time to give something to the Lord than at Christmas time. Now, we need to do that all the time. But as Christians, we need to give Him our heart. We need to also give Him a thankful attitude. How many of you as parents and grandparents understand it's pretty important that your kids are thankful? Amen. Amen? I mean, isn't it nice when you give your kids something and they say, thank you, I really appreciate that. You're like, boy, I'd fall over backwards if one of my kids told me that. Amen. But they would say, thank you. That's what God wants too. Wouldn't that be a great gift to give Him? Far too many Christians during Christmas, we get so caught up in the materialistic part of Christmas and the buying and the running and you know, standing in line. Of course, there ain't a whole lot of that with COVID going on. But, you know, we get so caught up in that we forget that, hey, listen, it's not my birthday, it's the Lord's birthday. He needs something. He needs something from me. I should be able to give Him something. And so I want to encourage you this morning that Christmas time is a time of giving. So let's give something to the Lord. I mean, it's great to give to other people, and that's wonderful, but let's give something to the Lord as well. I mean, after all, it is His birthday. I'll tell you another thing that Christmas is a good time for that we sometimes forget, and that is Christmas is a time for good tidings. Good tidings. There in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 10. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, when he said this, he was saying this. He was saying, listen, I'm bringing you good news, and this good news isn't going to be just for you. It's for all people. Good news for all people. This angel came with good tidings, and these good tidings were literally the news of coming salvation. Do you realize when Jesus was born, he came here for one reason, to die for sinners. And so when he came, when they announced the birth of Jesus Christ, essentially they were saying, salvation has come into this world. That was the good news. It was a message of hope. Now keep in mind that these shepherds here were considered somewhat uncouth and dirty men, and they were generally forgotten by the elements of society, and however, they weren't forgotten by God. How great is it, if you think about it, that these lowly shepherds who gave their lives raising sheep and lambs to be used for sacrifices in the temple, they were the first to hear the good news about the Lamb of God being born. I mean, I tell you what, God knows what he's doing, amen? I mean, the very first people to actually see Jesus as a baby, other than the parents, were those shepherds. The shepherds. These lowly shepherds who were forbidden to seek God in the temple. God brought salvation to them, and it was good tidings. It was a message of hope. And this message hasn't changed. The gospel is still the greatest message that there is today. Amen. It's still the message of hope. And you may be here this morning and maybe you committed some terrible sins in your life. I will tell you this, whether terrible or not, you've still committed them. And the book of James says if you've broken one part of the law, you've broken them all. So I'm just going to tell you this morning, if you're here and not saved, you say, well, yes, but you don't understand what I've done, Pastor. You don't understand some of the things I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. When Jesus Christ came to this world, he came to save you. And there's no sin that you could have ever committed that he cannot forgive. Any of them, it can be forgiven. But God is just waiting on you to call upon him this morning. All you have to do is trust him, and that is a true message of hope. Just the message was one of hope to those shepherds that night. It's a message of hope to you this morning. It's a chance to begin life again. It's an opportunity to have your sins washed away. It's an opportunity to know for sure that when you die, you'll be heaven bound, going to heaven one of these days. And I want to encourage you, if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no better time than at Christmas time to receive the gift of everlasting life. It is the best time. The time is now. If you've never been saved, you need to be saved today. It is a time of good tidings. It's also a time of grace. Now, we all know that Jesus is the real reason for the season. But on that first Christmas, if you think about it, in the eyes of Jesus, we were the reason for the season. Because in the eyes of Jesus, he came here to save us. In the eyes of Jesus, in the eyes of God, it was about saving the world. That's the reason God gave his only begotten son. Amen. And you know, Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When Jesus came to this world, it was for one reason. It was to save sinners like you and me. Rather than giving us what we all deserve, God gave us what we did not deserve, and that was his own son, Jesus Christ. And giving us what we do not deserve is what grace is all about, giving you something that you don't deserve. You see, no one in here this morning deserves anything from the Lord. In fact, if we all got what we deserved, consider that Bible says, for the wage of sin is death. If we all got what we deserved, then we'd all be in hell today. But we didn't get what we deserve. The Lord says, I'm going to give you something that you don't deserve. I'm going to give you the Savior of the world to be born by a virgin. Now, that happened 2,000 years ago. If you keep on reading your Bible, you understand that Jesus, he grew up from a boy. And then, you know, he got into ministry and he taught for 3.5 years. And then he died on the cross for every one of us. You realize that's what God gave us. Do you realize that the moment that Adam ate the fruit, the Lord could have wiped out the entire human race right there and he'd been justified in doing it? Why? The wage of sin is death. But God has given us grace over and over and over and over. And I'll tell you something. Maybe there's somebody in your life today, this morning, that you have not given a whole lot of grace to. What a great time at Christmas time to give people grace. I mean, aren't you glad that God gave you grace? I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God gave me enough grace to allow me as a sinner to hear that gospel for the very first time. I'm thankful that God gave me enough grace to lead me to a church to where I actually heard the word of God preached, the gospel preached. I'm thankful that the Lord gave me grace by saving me, even though I didn't deserve any of it. But you know what I'm really thankful for? Is the fact that now I am saved and the Lord still gives me grace every single day. Because I'm going to tell you something, I mess up every day. I say things I shouldn't say. I think things I shouldn't think. I do things I shouldn't do, just like everybody in this room. But God still gives us grace. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. I'm thankful for that every day. And I tell you that if there's somebody who's done you wrong, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, you know what? You should give them grace. Why? Because God gives you grace. It's a time of grace. It's also a time of glorifying God. Now, we look at Christmas being celebrated around the world, and very little of that celebration actually glorifies God. I remember last year, we have a float in the Christmas parade downtown during the Christmas parade. They usually have the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. No, maybe it's Blue Sunday or Blue Saturday or something, whatever. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We normally have a float, and we build the float. And then what we do is we get behind a float and we hand out tracts as fast as we can go as that float is going down the road in Central. And I think, last year we handed out like 3,000 tracts or something like that. I mean, it's a great time. And, you know, I will say this. I noticed that after we got done, I looked at all the floats. And of all those floats, there were only two that had anything to do with Jesus Christ. And there must have been 35 floats on that thing. Only two had anything to do with Jesus Christ. That's the world you're living in. You're living in a world that wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But may I tell you, for Christians, it's about glorifying the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about glorifying Him. Notice there in verse 13 it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill towards men." Glory to God in the highest. I mentioned last week that you know what you'll see during Christmas time. You'll see the words on earth peace, goodwill towards men. You see that all the time. When it says on earth peace, goodwill towards men, peace, goodwill towards men. You see that on TV shows. You see that on floats. You see that on different things. But you know the one thing that they always leave out in that verse? The first part of it, where it says glory to God in the highest. You don't ever see that on TV. You don't ever see that on floats. You don't ever see that on the bottom of your TV screen. No, they'll say peace, goodwill towards men. But listen, Christmas is not, you can't have peace without Jesus Christ. You can't. And there's no goodwill towards men without Jesus Christ. If you're not saved here today, this is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. That's not goodwill. But glory to God in the highest. Goodwill towards men. You see, if you receive Jesus Christ this morning, you can understand what true peace is all about. They see an angel. These shepherds out there, they see an angel. That's probably not a normal thing. And then they see a whole multitude of heavenly hosts, and they're all praising God and giving glory to God. And what an awesome sight that must have been that very first Christmas. But you know, even though the world commercializes Christmas, and even though the world celebrates Christmas in a secular way, we as believers must always remember that Christmas Day, we celebrate the King of Kings. And even though it's easy to get caught up in the secular hoopla of Christmas, our number one goal at Christmas should be to glorify God. Today, we need to join forces with a heavenly host and sing praises to the Lord. And by the way, I want to encourage you not just wait till Christmas to do that. We need to do it all the time. What we like to do is we like to make one day for Thanksgiving and one day to remember Jesus Christ. But folks, it shouldn't be like that. We are to glorify God all the time. The Bible says that everything that you do, do to the glory of God. That's what we're to do. It's a time for glorifying God. And then finally, it's a time for going home. Christmas has always been a good time for going home. There are a lot of family, even within the next week, that will be traveling, maybe some to see you, or maybe some of you will go to travel to see them. And that happens at Christmas time all the time. That's the reason we always ask prayer for people traveling during this time, because people do a lot of traveling at Christmas time. I think about all the military that we have this morning that will not be able to go home to see their families, won't be able to travel to see their families. And I think about those military members who are going around the world and protecting us and protecting our freedoms, but they're unable to go home for Christmas. And I think about those families that have lost their sons or their daughters in battles and wars, who will never again be able to see their sons and daughters at Christmas. I think about those who have lost loved ones just this past year, that this will be their very first Christmas without their loved ones. You know, we need to pray for our military. We need to pray for those people who have suffered loss during this time of year that will be going to Christmas without their loved ones. And we need to be thankful for the loved ones that we have. Amen. Thankful that we can actually be with them at Christmas. I want to encourage you, be with your loved ones this Christmas. If you're not able to be with them, call them. Spend some time with them. It is a time for going home. That's always been an important part of Christmas. In fact, going home is really what makes Christmas really special for a lot of people. I know that when I was in the military, I never got to go home very often at Christmas time, but I think I made a home twice. Two times in 20 years. And boy, what a great time it was. It wasn't very long, but I was able to be home. And you know, that's what Christmas is really all about in many ways, is going home. Look, if you would, at verse 3. It says, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So here at this very first Christmas, Joseph and Mary, they return home, and they return to where they were first born and to where it all began for them. And may I say this morning that there are some Christians here this morning that also need to go home for Christmas. And I'm not talking about going home to where you were born. I'm not talking about that. How many of you are familiar with the story of the prodigal son? You know, the story of the prodigal son, you have the man who has the two sons. One son stays there at the house with him. The other son says, you know, "Give me my inheritance and I may go spend my inheritance." And the father gives him his inheritance and he leaves home and he goes out into the world. And when he's out there in the world, he basically wastes his entire inheritance. And then he's sitting there broke amongst the hogs. And while he's sitting there amongst the hogs, he begins to think himself, you know, "I had it pretty good back there at Dad's place. I had it really good back there at my father's place, because even back there, the servants are treated better than even the greatest people out here where I'm at." So he thought for a while, and then he came to the conclusion that he needed to go home. You know what he did? He went home. And when he walked up there, the part that gets me about that is when he walks up, the father's standing there, and the father sees him coming. The father doesn't say anything. He just goes up there, wraps his arms around him, kisses him on the neck, and welcomes him back. Doesn't judge him. He already knows that he's made a mistake. And the father forgives him that quick and says, "Come, let's go ahead. Let's kill the fatted lamb. Let's throw a party for him. Give him the robe. Put a robe upon him. Put a ring back on his finger. Let's make it the way it used to be." And he goes in and he's welcomed back. You know, I'd venture to say that many Christians are probably in the same place that prodigal was when he was sitting there amongst the hogs. Maybe you're here this morning and you've gotten away from the Lord. By the way, I just want to tell you that any time that you're away from the Lord, it's you who stepped away. It's you. You see, the Lord has been there the entire time. If you'll remember, even back there in Genesis, the voice of the Lord was there in the garden while Adam and Eve were over hiding in the bushes. They're the ones that stepped away. The Lord said, "Listen, you can eat of any tree in the garden, just not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." You know what they did? They disobeyed the Lord. The Lord had it said, "Listen, you can be with me forever." But that wasn't good enough. The grass was always greener. So they ate of the fruit. They're the ones that stepped away from the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you're not where you need to be spiritually, if you are away from the Lord, it's you who have stepped away. And it's you who has to come back. The Lord isn't going to make you do anything. But I guarantee you this, if you'll come home this morning, if you'll come before the Lord this morning and confess your sins, admit to what you did and ask forgiveness, the Lord will forgive you of your sins and he'll wash away those sins. And you'll be back in fellowship with him if you'll just come home. Now I'll tell you something, folks, there are a lot of Christians today who refuse to do that. There are a lot of Christians today who have become comfortable in this world and doing the things of this world. But I'll tell you this, as Christians, you know what I'm talking about when you get to the point to where you're just starving spiritually, where you just feel like you're just spiritually dry and you're looking for something, but you can never find out what that something is. You're looking for something to satisfy you, but you can just never figure out what it is. If you're a Christian, I can tell you what that is. Because your greatest satisfaction is being in fellowship with God. Amen. And if you'll come home this morning, you know what he'll do? He'll be just like that father and the prodigal son. He'll welcome you home. No questions asked. If you confess your sins before him this morning, and you admit to what you did, and you ask forgiveness of those sins, he will welcome you home. No questions asked. That's the God you serve. That's the God who gave his son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world to die for sinners. So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you saved? Have you received Jesus Christ? If you have not received Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior, what are you waiting on? Don't you understand that it's appointed unto men once to die? We're all going to face death one of these days. It's as natural as being born. But may I tell you, when you do die, you want to make sure that you're going to be in heaven when you do die. You want to make sure that you're in heaven. And if you're here this morning and you say, I just don't know if I'm going to be in heaven or not, you can know for sure this morning before you leave. If you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'll believe that He died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day, if you'll call upon Him, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you instantly. And if you are saved this morning, ask yourself, are you home? Are you in fellowship with the Lord? Are you living the way the Lord wants you to live? And if that's not you, maybe it's time for you to come home this Christmas. What a great time to come home. Let's stand.